I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few Mocha Moms. We visit with members of this mother support group each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we're taking on etiquette. Now, you know you've said this, your kid has a better social life than you do, play dates, birthday parties, pool parties, sleepovers. So in this whirl of activity, whatever happened to the thank you note? Is it just one more hassle for busy moms and sometimes dads? Doesn't a phone call or email work just as well? And are there other proper do's and don'ts? Here to talk about all of this, our usual Mocha Moms, regulars, Jolene Ivy, Ashra Nomani, and Leslie Morgan Steiner. We're joined by special guest mom, Karen Grigsby Bates. She's a correspondent for NPR and co-author of the book, The New Basic Black, Home Training for Modern Times. Welcome, ladies, moms.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi. Thanks, Michelle.
Great to be here.
So I have to tell you that the idea for this discussion came about because of an email to the DC Urban Moms and Dads website. And it was, as I'm sitting here wrapping yet another present for yet another birthday party, another $20 spent, I just realized that my son, age 5, hasn't received an acknowledgement for the last 3 or 4 gifts he's brought to a party this spring. I am beginning to suspect that this is a trend. I know this topic has been covered before, but I have a fairly specific question for those of you who have birthday parties this year, let's say 3 to 7, and who did not acknowledge the gifts your child received. What is your reason? And I must tell you, this triggered a very spicy discussion on this website. So I have to ask each of you, moms, tell the truth. Jolene, thank you notes, yes or no?
It's a mix. Sometimes we do them, sometimes we don't. It just really depends on what's going on in life. But they do them often enough that they know what it is and they know how to do them.
Okay, and you got 5 boys, so that's
they do
something. Okay, Leslie?
Thanking somebody for a gift is really important. But I don't think that thank you notes for children are an important part of childhood.
Slacker mom.
I am breathing a sigh of relief. I thought I would have to shame myself to not only these wonderful moms, but all of this world. I am got a love-hate relationship with thank you notes. And I'm trying to embrace my anti-thank you note self.
You have a love-hate relationship with RSVPs, as I recall.
I knew you'd bring that up. And by the way, you know, for that wonderful Easter egg party you have, we have that thank you
I'm
note.
Over it.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
We
even though it was last year.
In the mail.
Not really. Not actually. Still
exactly.
Better. Karen, help us out here. You've written about this.
My. I think thank you notes are an important part of childhood. I think when your child is really, really little, obviously he doesn't know how to write, but somebody's going to have to do it. And I think just the act of seeing mom write a little something, getting him to scribble his X or something at the bottom of it is important. Because
why is it important?
Subliminally, we absorb the knowledge that when people give you things, they didn't have to. You know, nobody made it a law that your kid has to have a present on his birthday, just as you didn't have to send invitations to his party. When you receive something, you acknowledge the fact that you've been given it and you thank the giver. It doesn't have to be this huge exegesis. It doesn't have to be 8 pages. It can be 2 lines. You know, dear Auntie Michelle, I love my stuffed duck. Love you, Nick. You know, the end. And I'll tell you, people are blown away when they get these little notes because so many people do not do them.
Well, so Leslie, You kind of fessed up here that you believe in them but don't always do them.
Well, I don't believe in notes, but I believe in etiquette and manners.
Can you not believe in notes?
Well, let me finish and I'll tell you. Etiquette is actually very practical. And thank you notes originated as a way to confirm that you had received a gift. And manners at its core is about telling everybody on this planet, whether it's a stranger, somebody you like, somebody you hate, that they matter, that we're all in this together. And my solution is that at my kids' birthday parties, we open the presents in front of everybody. And my child thanks everybody and their parent, if their parent is there, for the gift. Because the important part is not writing something on a piece of paper. It's making another person feel special for caring about you. And my mother never made me write thank you notes. And she is as waspy as they come. She comes from an old New York family that's been here for 1,000 years. And she taught me to be considerate of other people, but not to write thank you notes as a kid. Although I've got to say, it sunk in, and I write them now.
But see, I don't know, Karen, why don't you...
My mother came from an old family in the South, and I don't know how many hundreds of years they've been there, but basically her thing was, if you got this and you'd like to keep it, then you need to write a note to tell people thank you for having thought of you and sent it to you.
Why do you think that the written note matters? And what is your thought about email thank you, email acknowledgement?
I think if there is no other possible way to do it, then yeah, sure, fine, send an email. But it's not the same thing. And I'm sorry, I forgot the name of who
Leslie.
It is who has five boys.
That's Jolene.
Mm-hmm. Jolene?
Yes.
Big props. My God, they're boys, and she has them write notes. Now, I do have friends who say, well, I make my girls do it, but I don't make the boys do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I found Jolene. A great method when my kids were little and when I was actually a good mother back then and had more time. I would take
a
picture of each child with the person who gave them the gift with the gift. That way, when it came time to write the notes, we could remember who gave each person what thing. And I'd also print out the picture as a little note. So when you mailed the note, it would have the picture of your kid and their kid and the gift. And with the note inside saying, thank you for whatever.
And you know what? There are yellowed, curling pictures of those on bulletin boards
I've
and refrigerators everywhere because people really cherish things like
and
that.
And they cherish that because it makes them feel so incredibly special.
But you know, Leslie, I have to tell you, though, this whole thing about opening presents in front of everybody, that's something that I think a lot of people have moved away from because they feel that what if it sort of becomes a competitive thing, or what if it makes a child feel bad who isn't able to bring a gift?
You know, I think also people have moved away from it. This is another big challenge to teaching manners to kids today, is that we've moved away from that because we are very overscheduled, and we have birthday parties with sort of like six activities, and it seems like opening the presents isn't that important a thing. But I think it is one of the most gratifying, important things for the gift giver to see their present be opened. You know, if you've ever seen a bunch of kids opening presents, they all fight for whose present can be first or last, because it's such an honor. And I think that if we can go back to some of these sort of more kind of old-fashioned-y kind of things, there's a lot of rewards to them.
Asra?
I actually think it's really impolite to project on other people your own expectation for what gratitude looks like, because not everyone expresses thank you in the same way. And I honestly resent this notion that thank you can only be expressed on a little card that you get with crayon, you know, marked, imprinted on the back of the card, or, you know, your kid's little X. I grew up in an immigrant culture where the message was very much ingrained into my head that you didn't need to say thank you, that acts of gratitude and acts of kindness to each other were part of what it meant to be in our community. And I still remember my uncles always saying, oh, thank you. You do not need to say thank you. It is an insult to us to hear thank you. And, you know, I did my little survey of immigrant community folks over the last couple of days. And it's the same thing. I mean, they have not grown up with this idea that you sit there and write a thank you
card. But isn't it a life
card.
Skill for this culture? I mean, isn't there a reason why some of the colleges now have to teach kids to write thank you notes because they don't know how to do it? And
isn't it
like using the utensils that are appropriate for this culture so that you can move properly
but
through
I think
it
that,
or
like,
comfortably?
Yeah, but I think we're like presuming what this culture needs to look like then. And that's exactly my point about like, why does thank you have to be on a little 4x6 card with a butterfly on the front and thank
it
you
doesn't.
Written in the
it
back?
It can be on a ripped off piece of notebook paper.
The point is the same, though. My point is exactly the same, though, which is that it doesn't have to always come in this written form. I mean, to me, what I am very, very clear with Shibley, my son, about is you look somebody in the eye and you give them a hug and you say thank you, but you look them in the eye because we have to speak heart to heart. And to me, formalities can oftentimes negate that kind of connection.
Well, let's move to the other question that one of the other issues we wanted to talk about, this whole question of speaking respectfully to adults. Mm. And that there are cultural differences attached to that. Karen, what's your sort of rule of thumb here? I know one of the issues for me in this school that my children attend is that the adults are addressed by their first names. In our culture, it's put a handle on it. In our culture, it's put a handle on it. It's Miss Andrea, Miss Shirley, Mr. Bill, whatever. It's not Bill, hey, Bill, a four-year-old. And I must tell you, it's hard for me to adjust to that. So, Karen, what's your thought on that?
My child's 16 now, but when he was in that time of play dates, when he was in like preschool and elementary school, I went to pick him up from a classmate's house after he'd been there for a few hours after school. And when the lady opened the door and I said to him, you know, gather your stuff, we're getting ready to leave. We were sort of chatting in the kitchen, getting to know each other a little bit. And she sort of had this bemused smile on her face. And she said, he's so polite. I kept telling him, you know, call me Hadassah. And he wouldn't do it. He'd call me, no, this is Mrs. Baum. Mrs. Baum, may I have some of this? Mrs. Baum, may I whatever? And I said, well, you know, it's probably cultural. But the way I was raised, we didn't call adults by their first names, except with very, very, very rare exceptions. They were Aunt somebody or Miss somebody or Mrs. somebody, but we didn't just step up and go, hey, Andrea. It wasn't done.
So the fact is that people do have different standards and expectations on this. Could I quickly go around and hear from everybody how you teach this question, Asra?
Well, raising Shibley in the middle of West Virginia at the Walmart, I've had him call everyone auntie and uncle, and the lady's like, I'm not your auntie. And so there was a little bit of confusion, but we use auntie and uncle. It's our immigrant culture code.
Leslie, how do you handle this?
I really like, as you said, adding a handle, Miss Leslie, Miss Michelle. But also there are often times where I will say in front of my child to an adult, how do you like to be called? Mm-hmm. Do you go by Ms. Martin or do you like to be called Ms. Michelle? And then my kids take a cue from me. And I found that it's not important to have a really strict rule about it, but the respect really matters. And the thing
can they code switch, though? Can they
yes,
switch
they can.
Circumstances? Like
in
this circumstance this way and in another
yes.
circumstance
because
this
all
way.
It is a name to them. And they might call their basketball coach Coach Brian and one of the parents Mr. BJ. They can move around. I mean, I think kids can do that. I think the thing that's really hard about teaching kids manners is that it takes so much patience and time and repetition. And that's not stuff that we excel at in our culture today. You know, everything is overscheduled and kind of fast, fast, fast and hurry up. And, you know, it's not a fun part of parenting to just nag and nag and nag and say, you need to look an adult in the eye. You need to call, you can't call him BJ. You got to say Mr. BJ. And I found from raising my own three kids that the key is to be really patient and to just say it over and over and over again and that they get it.
And to give the logic behind it, because lots of times I think they bristle at the idea of yet another piece of adult arbitrariness.
Mm-hmm. Jolene, go ahead. Let's hear from you. What do you do?
Well, I let my kids go according to what the adult wants, and it doesn't really matter to me. And personally, I prefer to be called Jolene. That's just me. But what I think is more important is that my kid look in the eye, look in the adult's eye, and speak first. Don't sit there looking at your feet, waiting for the adult to talk to you. It's your job. You go up and you say, hello, John, or hello, Mr. Smith, or whatever it is. The thing is, a lot of times, adults are so not expecting that they don't acknowledge that my kid just spoke to him, and that drives me crazy. So then I have to say, speak louder. They didn't hear you.
Yeah, I think you're raising an important point, is that sometimes adults aren't very polite to kids, and they get that sort of, there's this ambiguousness about what's acceptable. Of course, in the olden days, adults didn't speak to kids, so it really wasn't necessary to figure it out. Karen, your book title references modern times. What are some of the other sort of issues of sort of modern etiquette you think we should at least think about, talk about, even if we're not going to necessarily agree?
Well, when we did the revisions of this book, the first Basic Black had been out for about 10 years, and Doubleday called us and said, you know, some stuff has happened, and one of the things that's really happened is that there's been a real change in technology. Can you know, we want to do a revision. Can you include a chapter on that? That's one of the things we did, you know, the whole business of can you be at somebody's house for dinner and texting under the table?
No. Oh,
thank you. You know, that sort of thing. Can you write, you know, an email? Thank you note. Can you?
What's the answer to that?
Sure. I say that, you know, on some occasions, okay, fine.
Okay. What else?
The other thing that we had in the book that was not in there originally was sort of living safely in a post 9/11 world. Mm-hmm. That the whole business of what happens when you go through security now, your experience may be different depending on what you look like. And you have to be prepared for that.
Why is that an etiquette question?
Well, as the little clip that Rob played before, as the tease before this segment started said, we really look, Karen Hudson, my co-author, and I really look at etiquette as not just a do and don't and where the fork goes. These are life skills. You know, back in the day when these things were first formed, they were to help keep us alive and in one piece, so a next generation could be born, go forward, and build on that. And there's still a lot of that that's necessary. One of the other things that we felt really strongly about that our editors didn't get at first was putting in the protocol for what happens when you're pulled over when you're driving, because we knew so many young brothers who had been pulled over, made to assume the position when they were driving mom's car or maybe even their own car. And so I went out and talked to police. I mean, as a reporter, I talked to them anyway to say, what is it that makes you uncomfortable? What is it that they need to know? And they told us, and we put it in the book.
Okay. So if I could hear from you just briefly on this whole question of post-9/11 etiquette, since this is something you've obviously had to think about.
Well, what I think happens is that, you know, you just don't know what to do when you deal with confrontation. And one of the things that I definitely try to teach Shibley is you don't engage. This woman cut me off in this parking space the other day and just started swearing and, you know, cutting it up. And I was like, all right, Shibley, here's how we don't act when there's a confrontation. And to me, that's etiquette. You know, it's like, okay, you got a conflict. How are you going to engage and battle, or are you going to disengage?
Okay. Leslie, final thought from you. What's the most important thing you think to teach your child?
Absolutely that it's a blessing to be part of a community, and that a community is not necessarily your family or people you know. Sometimes it includes strangers or a person who works at a store or a police officer, and that's part of society, and we have to treat everybody with respect.
Jolene, briefly?
That's it. It's all about respect. I think that's all I can add to that.
All right. The Mocha Moms, Jolene Ivey, Asra Nomani, and Leslie Morgan Steiner joined us in our Washington studio as always. Guest mom Karen Grigsby Bates is co-author of The New Basic Black, Home Training for Modern Times. She joined us from NPR West. Ladies, thank you so much. And I'm so sorry if I was rude to any of you. And I'll be sending you a lovely note on monogrammed and perfume stationery.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thanks. I'm waiting for it.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. My thanks to Cheryl Corley for sitting in yesterday. Let's talk more tomorrow.